welcome to the Litigation Finance Podcast. I'm your host, John Freund. This podcast is brought to you by the Litigation Finance Journal, the only dedicated news source to the litigation finance industry. Please visit www.litigationfinancejournal.com. Our guest today is Wendy Chow, founder and CEO of Dealmakers Forums. Dealmakers curates live and virtual events in the legal, finance, tech, and litigation finance spaces. Wendy has over 20 years of experience in marketing, communications, events, and PR. Wendy, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, John. Great to be here.
That's great to have you. So we have the fifth annual LF Dealmakers event is coming up this September 28th and 29th in Manhattan. I can still remember covering the first one years ago. And I know that was based off of your successful IP Dealmakers brand. So I know you had been doing that for years prior. So I wanted to ask, you know, how did you first come to launch LF Dealmakers? How has the event evolved over the last 5 years?
Yeah, thanks for that question. And I remember you covering the first LF Dealmakers too, and just want to say congratulations on all of your success at LFJ. So it's great to see you guys grow as well. So now to answer your question, as I'm sure many of your listeners know, IP and litigation finance have a long history. We've had plenty of panels over the years at IP Dealmakers where funding has come up as a topic of conversation, and plenty of participants that have funded cases, received funding, and advised on cases as well. So we kept hearing about this massive influx of capital into the space, new players, emerging models, challenges, opportunities, basically all of the makings of a great conference. And a great market, by the way. So when we floated the idea of doing an LF Dealmakers with some of our advisors, I guess we weren't surprised that we got some very strong support right away. So that's how, you know, we came to launch LF Dealmakers. And in terms of how the event has evolved over the years, I'd say in a few key ways. And, you know, I think much of this aligns with what we've seen in terms of industry growth. So first, you know, I'd say that it's grown in size and visibility, not just here in the US, but globally, as we have more international participants every year. And 9 times out of 10, people say that, you know, they heard about the event through word of mouth, which I think says a lot. And another way the event has changed over the years is the profile of the group, where year one, it was largely funders doing single case funding. Now it's a wide range of funders with different strategies and approaches, plus a huge growth in law firm attendance, including those that are receiving funding directly as a firm, facilitating it for their clients, and even advising funds or fund of funds. And speaking of, that last group has grown too, that the investment bankers that are helping institutional investors find ways to put their money to work in the litigation finance space. And finally, I'd say just this past year, we've seen a growth, maybe even possibly an explosion in terms of interest from the insurers. And the last thing I'll say about how the event has evolved is the content and the discussions. So it's gone from, you know, litigation finance 101 in the first year, where no one really wanted to say anything substantive, to a much more diverse and complex set of topics, and a real willingness to engage in challenging subject matter at a greater depth than ever before.
Yeah, we've definitely seen the same thing. I can echo those statements, especially on the content side, where I remember initially it was a lot of just sort of explaining what litigation finance is, and then now it's, you know, everyone, lawyers and investors, already know what it is, and it's a lot of more in-depth conversations, which is great. You know, there are a lot of industry events out there, so I'd like to ask, what sets the Dealmakers events apart? To what do you attribute LF Dealmakers' success?
What other events?
Right, there's no others. What am I talking about? This is a silly question.
Well, I mean, I think our model is unique, and it speaks for itself, you know, so just going back to, you know, my experience, having worked at a commercial conference company early in my career, I'd say that there are some lessons learned that have informed our approach at Dealmakers. And, you know, sometimes half jokingly, when I talk to people, I describe us as the anti-commercial conference company. And what I mean by that is that, you know, the commercial conference model is opportunistic. They're working across multiple industries and replicating and breaking out as many events as they can, as the market will bear even. And in that process, you're not only sacrificing quality, but you're not really invested in those spaces. You're not learning about what the real issues are, who the thought leaders are, and how you might like even be able to help drive the conversations in the space. And your relationships, they're more transactional, because most of the time the people working on those programs, they're right out of college. I mean, that's when I got hired, and, you know, it was a great learning experience, but it was a great learning experience for me. So all this to say that, you know, at Dealmakers, we're invested in the spaces that we're in. It's more than an event to us. It's about creating community and bringing people together to share information, to learn from and help one another, and when it makes sense, maybe even to, you know, get some business done. And when it comes to the event itself, we're all about creating a high quality, curated event experience, and we don't compromise on anything. The content, the crowd, one-to-one meetings, networking, even the venue and the food. I mean, you know, John, you've been there. So, you know, we source our content directly from the market, as well as our speakers. We talk to people, we learn what's going on, we learn what people care about. And I think it really matters that, you know, we're objective in this process, that we're more of an industry facilitator, like you guys, right? Rather than, say, you know, a funder or a law firm or another party that might have a specific business interest. And another big reason why I think, you know, we've had the success we've had is our sponsors. We have some great supporters, and these are top tier organizations that we've built really strong relationships with over the years, many that have been with us since year one. And then lastly, I'll say the audience. We vet the audience to make sure everyone in the room is someone worth meeting. Plus, we look, you know, across that group to make sure that we have the balanced representation of the different kinds of players in the space. And, you know, in this case, it's litigation funders, other kinds of investors, law firms, in-house counsel, advisors, other, you know, stakeholders. And, you know, we do this because we want to optimize both the discussions and the deal making that's happening in the space. And that last point is a really important one, because we hear time and time again from people that they leave the event with new connections and actual leads and deal opportunities. And I think for us, that's really gratifying to hear that, you know, we're actually helping people get business done.
Yeah, I was taking a look at the agenda for this year's conference, and one of the panel discussions that really caught my eye, it was actually the last one listed, and it's what to do when deals go wrong. So this is kind of an interesting topic. I don't know that I've seen this before at other events. How did you land on this topic, and what can we expect from this type of panel?
Yeah, so I'm glad you noticed that panel. You know, it's actually part of a panel series that we've brought back every year called Ask the Experts, which you might remember. And the idea behind, you know, that series was that there were all these questions that weren't necessarily getting addressed in the other panel discussions, either because the topics weren't being covered, or maybe, you know, weren't being covered in depth enough. So Ask the Experts panel was designed to give the audience a chance to get answers to their specific questions. And in that process, what we discovered was that the questions that were being asked was a great source of material for our future programming. And that's actually the forum where we first started hearing about these post-deal issues. And I think it's also a function of, you know, a maturing industry that, you know, the first few years, all we're hearing about is, you know, how to get a deal done. Then, you know, as time moves on, you know, and naturally after all these deals are getting done, you're going to have some deals that just, you know, don't go according to plan. And one of the things that I'd say we pay great attention to at Dealmakers is what I'll call the user's perspective. And in this case, we're talking about the people that are actually using litigation funding, and we're talking to them, and we're hearing more and more about these post-deal issues. And the users want answers. And I think funders and advisors want them too. And this is the kind of I'll call it healthy dialogue that I think a maturing industry really needs to have in order to move forward in the best way possible.
I noticed also the keynote speaker this year is New York Times bestselling author and civil rights lawyer Tianjuli Wang. I'm interested to know why did you ask her to keynote this event?
Yeah, thanks, John. So I'm not sure if you read her book, Beautiful Country, but I think there's a reason why, it became an instant New York Times bestseller. And by the way, everyone attending the event will get a copy of her signed book. So just to mention, and Chan Julie, she has such an important story to tell, and she tells it in an incredibly powerful way. I mean, frankly, I think everyone should hear her story. But the reason why we invited her to keynote at LF Dealmakers is because her story as an undocumented child living on the fringes in our country, I think embodies the need for better access to justice. Because of her experiences as a child, she decided to become a civil rights litigator. So day in and day out, she helps level the playing field for immigrants and others in marginalized communities when it comes to legal services. So maybe, those buzzwords sound familiar to you, access to justice, level the playing field. There are definitely some commonalities there between the kind of civil rights work that Chan Julie does and litigation finance. And in fact, I think, we'll continue to see a convergence of the two as the growth in ESG and social impact focused litigation funding continues.
Yeah, that's great to have that sort of big picture connection. I think I'm excited for that. I think it's going to be a really interesting speech. Now, you spoke to this a bit earlier, but I do want to ask because it's such a big part of the dealmaker's experience is the networking, right? That's such a big part of it. So I know you've always allocated that one-to-one networking time. I remember that from past events. I noticed this year there's an open, what's called an open workshop lounge. I believe this is new this year. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe this is new. So can you explain that a bit more? What can we expect from that?
It is new. And thanks for asking about it. Just going back to the one-to-one meetings for a minute, as you mentioned, they are a very popular feature at the event. And in fact, the total number of meetings booked has quadrupled since the first year to last year. So, that just sort of speaks to the usefulness, of that feature for people. But all that said, they're not for everyone, right? Some people prefer more informal connections. And that's a big reason why we added this open workshop lounge. And what we're envisioning there is that we'll have some round tables with designated topics, as well as a few tables where you can choose your own topic. And, people will be inviting people to take a seat, chat with colleagues about a particular issue, maybe get some advice, brainstorm, discuss opportunities. I don't know, just or just hang out. I mean, people, I think that people have been cooped up in their homes for such a long time that at the end of the day, we just wanted to offer people a place to be, to enjoy one another's company and, have a good time. So we'll see how it goes. But, I also wanted to mention that we have added a closing reception after the open workshop lounge and one-to-one meetings end on the second day. And, ultimately what we're hoping with the addition of, these afternoon events is that people will decide to stick around for the full 2 days.
Yeah, I can tell you people love a good closing reception. So I expect that will be well attended. Final question. You've been doing this a long time, so you're the expert here. What is your advice to those attending in terms of how to get the most out of the dealmaker's experience?
So that's an interesting question because I think, everyone has their own preference in terms of what they want to get done at the event. Some people are there to learn or, get information. Others, they want to schedule as many one-to-one meetings as they can. And I think the common thread, between all of the people is that, or at least what we see, is that most people are there to connect. They're there to connect with others, especially, post-COVID, if we can say that now. So, my advice would be to review the program, to see what panels you might be interested in attending. Maybe even, prepare some questions because every panel does end with an audience Q&A. If you're interested in setting up one-to-one meetings, make sure you log into the virtual event platform where you can see everyone who's attending and start reaching out to people, either direct messages or even, meeting requests. But, most of all, I think my biggest piece of advice is just to be open to the experience, to listening, to learning, and to meeting new people. I truly believe that what you put in is what you get out.
That's great. Words of wisdom there for all the attendees coming up. And I know I'm going to be there. LFJ will be there covering the event. We're excited about that. So if you cannot make it, if you're not in town, you can check out, pay attention to the LFJ website, and we'll be posting articles throughout both days of the event. But if you can make it, if you are in the New York area or can be in the New York area, the event is this coming September 28th and 29th in Manhattan. Go visit lf.dealmakersforums.com for more information. You can see the agenda there, all the panelists, the speakers, and everything. So we encourage you to do that. Wendy, thank you so much for being on the podcast and sharing your thoughts on your upcoming event.
Thank you so much for having me, John. I've really enjoyed this, and I guess I will be seeing you soon.
Absolutely, be seeing you in very soon. So, and good luck with everything. Wish you the best. I'm excited for the event. And for those of you listening, we hope you enjoyed this episode. We'll see you on the next episode of the Litigation Finance Podcast.